You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up in November, a federal panel ruled that Wisconsin's current legislative district maps are unconstitutional. Now, two former state lawmakers, a Democrat and a Republican, are making an urgent call for those maps to be redrawn.
Right now, Congress began its new session yesterday, and there was quite a bit of chaos when Republicans had to rescind their vote to seriously curtail the independence of the Office of Congressional Ethics.
New data shows that there are slightly more conservatives than liberals in America today, and that white Democrats are more liberal than ever.
And Megyn Kelly is making a big career move that could be a sign of things to come for the media and the new administration. Harry Enten is with us now. He's senior political writer and analyst for 538.com. Happy New Year, Harry.
Happy New Year to you all out in Wisconsin.
Well, it's a cold day in Wisconsin, and I have to imagine for a lot of people in Congress, it was a cold day yesterday because the first day of the 115th Congress was far from business as usual. The day before, House Republicans voted to put the Independent Office of Congressional Ethics under a partisan House Ethics Committee. And was that a surprise, Harry?
I think the whole thing was kind of surprising. I during this campaign, I think if anything, the message from the voters was that they thought that Washington was a swamp and that they wanted Republicans to take power insofar as to clean it up. And I don't think that they were thinking that the way that they would clean it up was by putting one of the lone independent voices to check whether people were being ethical or not back under a partisan tent. And that was exactly what House Republicans did. But perhaps even more surprising than that was how quickly that they reversed course. Part of that was Donald Trump saying this isn't the time for that. Part of that was House Democrats saying, hey, wait a minute, what's going on here? This is an office that was created back in 2008. So we had some independent voices to check on ethics in Washington. And so, you know, the fact that they put it up for discussion and then reversed so quickly was something quite unusual.
So when they proposed it and voted on it, what did they say the move was meant to accomplish?
Well, this was the interesting thing, was that the vote occurred in private. It was among House Republicans only. And, you know, it wasn't a unanimous vote among House Republicans, but it was, you know, it was one that was at least a fairly wide margin. And they were kind of coy on exactly what was going on, why they exactly did it. Now, one of the reasons that they say that they did it was that they complained that this anonymous or this independent committee allowed for anonymous tips to be handed off. So that you could say, hey, this guy has had an ethics problem, and you wouldn't actually have to put a face to who lodged that complaint, which allowed for some vindictive behavior supposedly among House members who didn't like another House member. But overall, it seemed that the independent committee was working fairly well. So, you know, this was a thing where one person brought it up and then a bunch of people agreed to it, but it was by far from being the majority of the House. It was just a majority and certainly not all of House Republicans.
Well, and what did fellow Republicans who disagreed with the move have to say, especially after those that put it in place had to roll it back?
Well, you know, a lot of them, you know, it was interesting. You had some people who would say, this was a private vote and I'm not going to discuss it. And then there were other people clearly who were not fans of this who were said, I did not like this. This is not the thing that we should be doing. And it was those people who probably voted against it, while the people who said this was a private vote who probably voted for it, if we're reading between the two lines.
So we don't know, unless people came out and said how they voted, we don't know who voted thumbs up, thumbs down on it.
We have no idea how they voted. It was an anonymous vote, which I think is, as I said at the beginning, is exactly the opposite of what I think most Americans who voted in the Republicans expected, that they wanted more, if anything, more transparency, and they wanted to, quote unquote, clean the swamp, which was what Donald Trump was saying all along. And this type of move, I think, to most people, smelled of something entirely different.
So it was certainly blowing up all over social media when they made this move. Do you think public outcry, public response, public contact with their representatives had something to do with the rollback?
Yes. There were numerous people who said that, in fact, it did have something to do with the rollback. And I think one of the key things that was different, say, from this effort versus perhaps other efforts where, you know, you try and get congressmen to reverse their votes, is that there were a lot of phone calls that were made to these congressional offices. It didn't just take place on social media. It wasn't just a bunch of angry people tweeting. It was people actually calling in. And what we know is that those calls into offices are actually far more successful at getting congressmen and congresswomen to reverse reverse course or change their position than going after them on social media.
So an interesting footnote is that Jack Abramoff, the disgraced former lobbyist whose felony crimes actually helped lead to the creation of the Independent Office of Congressional Ethics, criticized the vote, telling Politico the move was, quote, exactly the opposite of what Congress should be doing. That seems like a pretty interesting slap on the hand to get.
I would say it's a very interesting slap on the hand. And indeed, you know, Jack Abramoff, who went to federal prison, who's an ex-felon for what he did before the 2006 election, knows, and perhaps the people who were associated with Jack Abramoff know, that how big of a deal ethics can be to the American voter. Because indeed, one of the big reasons why Republicans lost power in the 2006 midterm elections was that a dozen or so congressmen were tied directly to Abramoff and his scandal. And that, in fact, was one of the large reasons that Republicans lost the House that year. And I don't think Republicans are so interested in giving up power so quickly in the House, given that they've now have control of all three branches for the first time in a little bit over a decade.
So speaking of slaps on the hand, President-elect Trump tweeted that while he agrees that this office is not necessarily fair, that this was not a priority that Congress should be taking on. Is he the one that comes out the winner in this?
I think that he certainly comes out smelling better than House Republicans did. And I would note, of course, that Trump wasn't saying he necessarily disagreed with the motive for the move or the move itself. He just disagreed with the timing of it. So this is something that might be brought up again in the future, perhaps when there's other news going on. So I don't think that this is the end of trying to rein in the Independent Commission. I just think it's going to be at a different time. But, yeah, I would say Trump certainly came out ahead. I will say that House Democrats have to be quite upset over this, insofar as that they were barking from the trees that this is not a good thing, that this is a bad thing. I can't believe House Republicans are doing it, but very few people are talking about the House Democrats. Most people are talking about how Trump differed from the House Republicans.
Talking with Harry Enten right now. He's senior political writer and analyst for 538. And Harry, new data from Gallup shows that while there have been more Americans who identify as conservative than liberals for over a century, that gap's narrow and the numbers are getting closer. How do you see that squaring with a House of Representatives, Senate, and White House, as well as growing numbers of governorships and state legislatures that are dominated by Republicans?
Yeah, you know, Gallup has been taking this data for a while, and if you go back to the beginning of this century, back to 2000, we've always seen that conservatives outnumber liberals, but now, as you said, the gap is closed. What's really going on isn't so much that voters, conservatives are necessarily, or conservative Republicans are becoming liberal. What's going on is if you look at Democrats in particular, we see in their ranks we now have more self-identified Democrats identifying as liberal and fewer identifying as either conservative or moderate, which means we're seeing increased polarization. Republicans are staying conservative while Democrats are becoming more liberal. So it's not as if the voters in the middle of the aisle are becoming more liberal. It's that Democrats themselves, Democratic voters, are becoming more liberal. And I think that's how you square the idea that Republicans are winning. It's just that Democrats are becoming different in their own makeup.
And there's been big news in the world of media and news that came out yesterday from Megyn Kelly.
Finally tonight, a personal and professional note from me to you. After more than a dozen years at Fox News, I have decided to pursue a new challenge. This was a tough decision for me because I love this show, our staff, my crew, my colleagues here at Fox, and you, all of you.
So Megyn Kelly said that she's leaving Fox to go to NBC, where she'll host a daytime show and a weekend news magazine. What do you make of that, Harry?
Well, you know, Megyn Kelly was perhaps more of a newsmaker in terms of the presidential campaign the previous 2 years than any other member of the media. Remember, she and Donald Trump had their own tiff. Trump said some things about her, which I won't repeat on the air, which didn't strike me as necessarily appropriate. But, you know, Megyn Kelly was a member of Fox News, which has long been the network preferred by conservative voters. And so the idea that Kelly is leaving, I think, suggests a few things. Number one, perhaps, and I'm not in Megyn Kelly's mind, that she was uncomfortable with what was going on in Fox News. But more than that, I think it's points out that Fox News itself is losing someone who would perhaps be more critical of the Trump administration. Remember, directly on after Megyn Kelly is Sean Hannity, who is anything but. And I think this is yet another illustration of the polarization that we see, is that, you know, liberal stations have liberal anchors and conservative stations have conservative anchors who would be big fans of the incoming Trump administration. And if you're not a big fan of Trump, you're probably not going to be on the prime time in Fox News. And that's exactly what seems to have happened here. Again, not knowing specifically why Kelly did exactly what she did. But I think it's just an illustration of our larger news media that conservatives are watching one set of news stations and liberals are watching a separate set of news stations.
Well, and since Greta Van Susteren had left Fox before Megyn Kelly, that now leaves them without a prominent woman anchor as well.
Yeah, that does. Now, it's going to be interesting who exactly replaces Megyn Kelly. We don't know exactly who it is yet. We know Roger Ailes was talking about Trish Regan perhaps replacing Megyn Kelly, but obviously Ailes is no longer with Fox News. So this is a real problem if you're Fox News insofar as that you have a growing age and audience, a conservative audience, and you don't really have these younger female voices really being able to talk about the issues. It's going to be interesting to see if Fox News decides to try and bring in a woman or whether they're going to have a completely male lineup, which is something very much unlike the other cable networks in 2017.
Harry, always a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you.
Harry Enten is senior political writer and analyst for 538.com and joined us to take a look at some of the national political stories of the past week.
Coming up after the news, two former state senators, one a Republican and the other a Democrat, are calling for Wisconsin's district maps to be redrawn immediately. We'll get the details. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.